Good afternoon. I'm convening this meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. It is June 21st. I am opening a work session on a number of bills and federal grant application requests. The first is House Bill 5002, Department of Administrative Services. Senator Manning.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 5002 is the budget bill for the Department of Administrative Services. The department supports other state agencies by delivering centralized services, which includes motor pool, information technology, support and oversight, statewide accounting, risk insurance, facility management, and procurement. The department also provides management oversight and policy directions to state agencies on operations, finance, human resources, and information technology. The budget for the department totaled just over $1,060,000,000 and 898 positions, which is 13% below the 2015-17 legislative approved budget. Other funds reduction includes, but are not limited to, $5.1 million from vacancy savings due to an anticipated hiring slowdown, $1.3 million from the elimination of six vacant positions, $2.1 million due to elimination of six strategic technology officers, $3.5 million in cuts at the state data center, and $3.4 million from lower fuel and utility costs. The two major other fund expenditure limitations increases, $9.1 million was added due to the transfer of 30 positions from 12 other state agencies and creation of five new positions to consolidate IT security functions in the state CIO office. $20.1 million and 33 positions, 30 of which are eliminated or limited duration, were added to implement the new statewide Human Resource Information Center. Mm-hmm. The General Government Subcommittee recommends HB 5002 be amended by the Dash 3 amendments and reported due out pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion?
Yes, Senator Thompson. Discussion?
Yeah, I just have a question. The figures I came up with was a 6.4 increase in FTEs. But I heard there was a decrease in FTEs.
Madam Chair and Senator Thompson, from the Legislative Fiscal Office, the 13% decrease was for the overall budget. There was an increase in positions due to, as was mentioned, the transfer of 30 positions and creation of five new positions, and then the addition of 33 positions for the new human resource information system.
Just to follow up. So, we had a pretty large decrease in their budget. How did they hire that many new employees with that big a decrease?
Madam Chair, Senator Thompson, some of the decrease is due to adjustments in non-limited other funds from changes from one body to the next. There was also a number of reductions for mostly services and supplies that didn't relate to positions.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Probably to LFO would be better. In the pony, it talks about anticipated hiring slowdown. What is that program, or has that been announced? What is a hiring slowdown?
Madam Chair and Senator Wisnett, this is part of the cost containment efforts that have been talked about this session. As part of that, the Legislative Fiscal Office and the co-chair's budget is assuming that there will be delays in hiring of positions when they become vacant, and that all agencies will be required to achieve additional vacancy savings over and above what was built in their base budget.
Thank you. Follow up, Madam Co-Chair. And also in the pony, it says 30 of the 33 new positions in IT will be limited duration. Is that half a year, a year? Is it?
And Madam Chair, Senator Wisnett, I believe most of them come on for most of the biennium. This is in relation to implementing the brand new human resource information system. It's going to require some changes to the way the state manages and deals with human resource issues, from changing from the existing system to this new system that's being implemented. And so those positions are for this biennium only to help in that transition.
Follow-up, Madam Chair. Too short. In the policy option package 809, we saw this in education subcommittee where the designated savings was delaying filling a position from 60 days to 120 days.
Madam Chair, Representative Wisnett, I believe that you're referring to the hiring slowdown packages, and again, that there's, I don't think we have any assumption of how agencies will achieve that with a, you know, with a hard and fast rule of how many days they will hold the positions vacant. We just assume that agencies will have to achieve this level of savings somehow through delays in hiring.
Thank you. Final question, Madam Chair. I haven't served on this subcommittee that has DAS. DAS charges other agencies a lot of money. How does that get worked into the budget? Does that go to DAS? Does that go to the general fund? How does the services that they're charging other agencies, how's the accounting process of that?
Madam Chair and Representative Wisnett, the way this will work in this session and most other sessions is, as you pass out the DAS budget with these adjustments and reductions, then those will get reflected in the end of session bill as changes, reductions in the assessments or charges that state agencies pay. So you will achieve additional general fund savings of all, and lottery funds and other funds and general fund savings by having lower DAS assessments and lower rates.
Clarification. I understand that, but they're charging agencies all this money. Does that go back into the? I don't understand it.
Madam Chair.
Does that reduce their budget, or how does that?
Representative Wisnett, what that does is state agencies have to pay those costs. And so what those costs are spread when they build the budget at agency request. The DAS budget is built assuming a certain level of revenue from state agencies, including the legislative branch pays these assessments too, for these different functions. Those are built into the agency budgets. And then as they go through the budget review process, we don't do any adjustments to those rates or assessments until the very end when we know what the DAS budget is.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm going to paraphrase something in different words, and I would very much like my co-vice chair, Representative Smith, to clarify if I'm being unclear. When we tell DAS to do things differently and to reduce the cost of providing service, then they spread the benefit of that cost to all other agencies, so other agencies pay less for the services they need. So that's how I would phrase it.
That's exactly right.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. My understanding, and I guess because I heard it over here, is that the money that's coming in from the other agencies shows up in their budgets as other funds?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yep. Correct.
Any other discussion? Objections? Representative Stark, Representative Wisnant.
Yeah. Over here.
You got McLean.
Representative McLean. And there were senators on this side. Do you have it? Motion passes. House Bill 5004, Department of Corrections, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 5004 is the budget bill for the Department of Corrections. The department manages and rehabilitates felony offenders sentenced to more than 12 months of incarceration by the courts. The agency is responsible for the security and safety of more than 4,600 employees and 14,500 inmates in 14 correctional institutions around the state, as well as providing medical, dental, mental health, and pharmacy services to all adults in custody. DOC directly operates the community corrections systems in Lynn and Douglas counties and funds community corrections operation in all other Oregon counties. The Public Safety Subcommittee approved an all funds budget of just over $1.75 billion with 4,605 positions and 4,572.07 FTE. A general fund budget of $1.7 billion supports 97.3% of the agency's expenditures, with $42.5 million of other funds and $4.4 million federal funds. The recommended budget reports legislative action taken in 2016 to expand prison capacity at the Deer Ridge Correctional Institute in Madras and to continue making improvements to the behavioral health unit at the Oregon State Penitentiary. But it does not include funding to open an additional women's prison and further reduces general fund expenditure by a total of $15.6 million to address the statewide budget gap. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5004 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out to pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'm not sure if this was in the pony or not, but in the budget discussions, there was a $960,000 budget cut to community corrections for treatment and support services. And if we're going to reduce recidivism, and if we're looking at passing bills like House Bill 3078, which is kind of a continuation of 3194 from the 13 session. It just seems to me to be heading the wrong direction, to be cutting almost $1 million for treatment and support services when we're looking at passing additional bills that are going to need funding for treatment and support services. And that one just kind of threw, I'm a yes on this. I appreciate what Director Peters is doing, but I'm a little lost in how we're developing the budget when we do things like that. So I just wanted to get that on the record. Thank you.
Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would, first of all, echo some of the concerns raised by Representative Huffman. Would also add that we are able to postpone or potentially never open that women's prison if we pass the important changes that are in 3078 and 2355, which we are considered in the public safety sub, and I very much hope we will get permission to move forward, because those contain important expansions of the work that, as Representative Huffman said, we did in 3194, and also big steps in the right direction towards adjusting some of our sentencing for lesser property crimes. Really important changes, and ones that will allow us to focus on preventing serious crime and keeping the prisons for it only for those who are committing more serious crimes against persons.
Thank you, Senator Manning.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I am fully in support of this bill, but there is a shocking trend that is developing across the nation where we're requiring or relying on law enforcement and prisons to treat our patients with mental illness and physical disabilities. I think that as a legislative body, this is an opportunity for us to look at more funding for public support and treatment programs rather than relying on law enforcement and jails to deal with people when they're not being provided the resources they need before they go into the Department of Corrections or law enforcement.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to take this brief moment to thank Colette and the director for the work she does. Colleagues, both Representative Benz and myself have facilities that are right on the river, right next to the state border, where it'd be very easy for the Department of Corrections to use out-of-state services. And Director Peters has worked closely with Representative Benz and myself to try and make sure that those services that can be taken care of and garnered in-state are. And it's just one of those small little economic development activities. And, Director, thank you for all your work. Thank you for personally coming out there to make sure it gets done. It says a lot.
Any other discussion? Any objections? Motion
yes.
passes.
I wish to be recorded.
Okay.
Some objections.
Did we get that, Mr. Rocco?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Next bill, House Bill 5015, Department of Justice, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 5015 is the budget bill for the Department of Justice. The department is responsible for general legal counsel and supervision of all legal actions in which the state is a party or has an interest. Department of Justice is also responsible for several other programs, including child support enforcement, crime victims compensation, consumer protection, regulation of charitable organizations, and supporting the law enforcement community. The budget totals $539 million total funds budget, including $83.6 million general fund, $305.5 million other funds, and $149.9 million federal funds. The total funds budget is a 5.9% decrease from the 2015-17 legislative approved budget and a 3.2% increase from the 2017-19 current service level budget. The budget includes 1,304 positions and 1,292.55 FTE. Non-limited expenditure authority is removed from the budget and replaced with limited expenditure authority. The decrease in the agency's budget is from the elimination of one-time funding to phase two of the Child Support Division's Information Technology Project, the elimination of unneeded expenditure limitation, capture of tobacco master settlement agreement savings, the reduction of the defense of criminal convictions for case load savings, and the elimination of vacant positions. The budget includes funding for enhanced Medicaid fraud, the Titan Fusion Center, Homeland Security, Internet Crimes Against Children, Prosecution Resources, Victims of Crime Acting Funds, additional legal services for agencies, backfill of a revenue reduction in child support, and investment in information technology, budget, and accounting staff. The defense of criminal conviction is funded at the agency's caseload forecast. The budget includes a one-time fund shift of general fund to punitive damages awards to the Crime Victim Services Division, which will be restored in the 2019-21 biennium. The 2017-19 billable attorney general rates for the agency will increase from $175 for the 2015-17 biennium to $182 and is estimated to generate $175 million. The rate is a 4% increase over the prior 2015-17 biennium. The budget report includes three budget notes. DOJ is to report to the legislature in 2018 with options for providing more effective and cost-efficient legal and other services to state agencies and on how the agency bills for legal and other services. DOJ is also to submit a report to the Legislative Assembly or to the Emergency Board if the compensation adjustment for attorneys exceeds the standard compensation adjustment for management services, service employees in the executive branch of state government. The subcommittee approved the department's key performance measures and updated targets with instructions that a standard in-depth review be undertaken. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5015 be amended by the Dash 2 amendments and be reported out and passed as amended.
Thank you. Discussion.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. In our subcommittee this year, we talked about how in the budgets presented to us, especially the boards, the small boards, that how they had an option of having a like an insurance policy with DOJ, or they get billed by the hour. Do we look at that, and is that part of this report that we're going to look at how to make it more efficient, I hope?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
That was presented in testimony that they've got the program that they've been working with on the agencies, and in the pilot programs, it's been working quite well, and they're going to expand it. Did I say that okay, John?
Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion? Yes, Representative McClendon.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I was just wondering, that Oracle lawsuit, did that get settled? So we're not paying for that anymore? I'll withdraw the question, I guess.
Thank you, Representative McClendon.
All right.
That rhetorical.
Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 5039, Department of Veterans Affairs, Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. Colleagues, I am very pleased to bring you House Bill 5039, the budget bill for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. The mission of the Department of Veterans Affairs is to serve and honor veterans through leadership, advocacy, and strong partnerships. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee approved a total funds budget of $509.9 million in 94 positions. Lottery funds expenditure limitation of $12.9 million available through the passage of Measure 96 is included in the budget. Total lottery revenue dedicated to veteran services is projected to be $18.7 million for the 2017-19 biennium and will be allocated to the Department for budgeted lottery funds expenditures, with the balance being retained in the constitutionally dedicated Veteran Service Fund. The budget also includes $8.5 million of general fund, which includes $7.5 million for veteran services and $1 million for debt service on outstanding bonds. The subcommittee recommendation includes doubling the current service level funding to county veteran service officers and national service organizations, shifting funding for veteran services from other funds supported by home loan revenues to lottery funds, a veterans crisis and suicide prevention hotline, a lottery funds allocation to address veterans housing and homelessness issues, and establishing a reserve balance in the Veterans Service Fund. A total of six positions are added to accommodate increased statewide support services, aging veteran services, and home loan compliance. Co-Chair Nathanson, I want to thank the co-chairs, you and Senator Devlin. I certainly want to thank my co-chair, Senator Johnson, and the members of our committee for their hard work on this budget. And I also want to recognize the exceptional efforts of not only the LFO staff committed to this budget, but to all of them within our silo of budgets for their hard work to get us to this point. What this budget represents, colleagues, is fully funding the commitment that Oregonians brought to us in Measure 96 with the funds that are allocated here and the expectation of another $2.5 million in capital construction commitments to our veterans' homes in two parts of the state. Co-Chair, I will say that in my time on Ways and Means, I have not seen an occasion where members of the subcommittee teared up when the motion was voted, or when a full audience in the room stood and applauded when the measure was confirmed. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5039 be amended by the -4 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Huffman. Did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So, question the carrier. You said that something to the effect of we're meeting the full obligation to the voters under Measure 96. You had a lot of numbers there. I got lost. When it comes to Measure 96 and the agency's general fund, are you saying that the general fund commitment to the department is whole? We're obligating for 17-19 at least as much general fund money to the budget as we did in 15-17. Is that?
Thank you for the question, Representative. First of all, I'll say that under Measure 96, we had intended $18 million in lottery funds. That number is actually $18.7 million. The current service level for the department is $10 million. This budget reflects $7.5 million in general funds. And in a separate motion, we will see another $2.5 that's going to be allocated in capital construction for a total of $10 million there. What I did not mention is the addition of, I believe, another $2.5 million in OHA, again committed to veterans programs, which would put us not at the $28 million that we anticipated in Measure 6, but closer to $31.5 million.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Objections? Representative Wismut. Motion passes. Thank you. House Bill 5040, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Senator Girod.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 5040 is the budget bill for the Oregon Water Enhancement Board, also known as OWEB. OWEB was established by legislature as the agency designated to administer the lottery funds constitutionally dedicated to fund watershed conservation and restoration. House Bill 5040 also allocates lottery funds to other agencies to pay for activities eligible to be funded with ballot measure 76 lottery funds. The budget supports OWEB with a total of $7 million in operation lottery funds, $17,270 other funds, and $2.3 million federal funds to support administration of the grant program. The grant program budget is $3 million other funds and $39.3 million federal funds. Almost all the federal monies are derived from the Federal Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund. Major 76 lottery funds for local grant projects is included in House Bill 5041 to provide the agency with a six-year expenditure limitation for these projects. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5040 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Representative McLean. Motion passes. House Bill 5041, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Local Grants. Senator Girod.
I'm on a roll here. House Bill 5041 provides the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board with a six-year limitation for local grant projects funded by Measure 76 lottery funds. At least 65% of the biennial revenue from Measure 76 that is dedicated to watersheds must be used for these types of projects. Many of the projects awarded funding by OWEB are multi-year efforts, and OWEB only makes final grant payments upon completion of the project. The legislature addresses this by treating the local grant portions of OWEB budget-like capital construction projects, which have a six-year limitations. House Bill 5041 provides OWEB with $67.6 million in lottery fund expenditure limitation for the new lottery fund grants awarded during the next biennium. There is one budget note related to how the current service level is calculated for the grant funds designed to ensure that these are no more large swings between current service level funding and legislative adoptive funding levels. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5041 be amended by the Dash 1 amendments and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Senate Bill 143B relating to provision of campus veteran services, Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 143 requires the Department of Veterans Affairs to develop and implement one or more conditional grant programs to expand and enhance existing veteran programs on college campuses that help veterans successfully transition from military service to college life. Grants of up to $100,000 will be awarded to Oregon community colleges and public universities based on specified criteria, including that veteran resource centers refer veterans to local county veteran service officers and that recipients provide resources and matching funds. Both the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Veterans Advisory Committee are directed to report to the legislature on the implementation and merits of the grant program. Lottery funds expenditure limitation is provided to the department for the establishment of a Program Analyst 2 position to serve as the Student Veterans Coordinator and administer the $1 million grant program. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 143 be amended by the B5 amendment and be reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Senate Bill 200 relating to retirement credit for periods of service in uniformed services. Senator Manning.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. In the words of my Senate colleague, Senator Gerard, good bill should pass. So, Senate Bill 200 is a narrowly defined revision of the Public Employees Retirement System Statute. Under current law, members of the armed services can purchase up to 4 years of retirement service credit from PERS. Statutory definition of armed services, however, excluded two of the seven uniformed services. This measure remedies the inconsistencies by allowing the U.S. Public Health Service and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to also purchase retirement credit. To purchase retirement credits, members must pay PERS the full cost of the benefits, including administrative costs. The measure has a minimum expenditure impact on the agencies. The measure has an emergency clause and is effective upon passage. General Government Subcommittee recommends SB 200 be reported out, do pass.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Representative McLean. Motion passes. Senate Bill 712A relating to credit for periods of disability under the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan. Senator Manning.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Again, my Senate colleague, Senator Gerard, good bill should pass. SB 712 is an early defined revision of the Public Employees Retirement System Statute. Under current law, Tier 1 and Tier 2 PERS members may receive retirement service credit for the period of disability leave relating to duty-related injuries under workman compensation system if the member returns to PERS employers. A similar benefit does not exist for Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan members. Under this measure, Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan members would become eligible for this benefit. The measure has minimum expenditure impact. The measure has an emergency clause and is effective upon passing. The General Government Subcommittee recommends SB 712 be reported out, do pass.
Thank you. Discussion, Senator Johnson.
Colleagues, if I can give you one rationale to vote for this, it would be to take you back to Christmas Eve of this last year when Trooper Cederberg was grievously injured while being on the job with the Oregon State Patrol. His recovery and return to his job will be long and painful. He will be away from work for a very protracted period of time. This is an excellent bill.
Thank you. Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 2891A relating to Department of Veterans Affairs. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2891 establishes the Department of Veterans Affairs Veterans Services Grant Fund. The Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs is authorized to make grants in amounts of $25,000 up to $250,000 per recipient from the fund. Grants may be awarded for purposes that benefit veterans, including expanding outreach and other services, promoting mental and physical health care, housing security, employment opportunities, education, and transportation accessibility. The department is required to adopt rules for the Veterans Services Grant Fund with the advice of the Veterans Advisory Committee. The subcommittee addressed the need for protocols that address outcomes, return on investment, grant tracking, program accounting, matching funds, and the evaluation of grant recipients. Lottery funds expenditure of $555,000 is provided to the Department of Veterans Affairs for grants and costs to administer the fund. And, colleague, I'm going to amplify this just slightly. This is a new program with substantial resources and the very real possibility that the amount could grow as ballot measure 96 matures. In the subcommittee, we laid down a very clear record about the responsibility of ODVA with respect to the establishment of responsible grant-making protocols, proper vetting of potential recipients for their legal and organizational sufficiency, the capability of beneficiaries to discharge the purposes of the grants, status with respect to the state of Oregon, i.e., all taxes paid, no other outstanding obligations, the operational capacity of the beneficiaries to deliver on their mission without ongoing state support, the ability of the board to carry out their fiduciary responsibilities without conflicts of interest or favoritism, to maintain proper grant oversight, and to demonstrate direct benefits to veterans. The agency and Representative Evans were unequivocal in their commitment to make this grant-making function transparent, responsible, honorable, and beneficial to the men and women of the military. It is our responsibility to hold them to their word and expect excellence and efficacy from this new program. Your Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2891 be amended by the -3 amendments and reported out do pass as amended.
Thank you. And thank you for putting that on the record, Senator Johnson. Discussion. Yes, Representative Huffman.
Madam Co-Chair, maybe you said it. A lot of words there, Senator.
Good words.
So does the funding for this, is this a new program developed based around the veteran services that was intended from ballot measure 96, and does the funding for this come out of the $18.7 million lottery?
Yes.
Fund? Okay, thank you.
How was that on economy of words?
Other discussion? Objections. Motion passes. House Bill 2908, relating to volunteer coordinator services for veterans, Senator Hansel.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 2908 establishes the veteran volunteer coordinator position within the Department of Veteran Affairs. The position will be responsible for developing and establishing a statewide veterans volunteer program, including training, recruiting, screening, and coordinating volunteers. The veteran volunteer coordinator will help the department expand outreach to veterans in their communities through a network of volunteers. No later than September 15, 2020, the Department of Veterans Affairs is directed to submit a report to the legislature on the position and impact of the volunteer program. Lottery funds expenditure limitation is provided to the department for the establishment of a program analyst to position and additional costs for volunteer training, background checks, and the purchase of a database to track volunteer information and program outcome data. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends HB 2908 be amended by the -1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion. Objections. Motion passes. A federal grant application request. Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Coastal Wetlands. Senator Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On June 14th, the Natural Resources Subcommittee recommended approval of the submission of three federal grant applications from the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, totaling $2,467,000 for coastal wetland conservation and restoration projects. There are three different grant proposals. Number one, the Tillamook River Wetlands Project requests $467,000 to acquire approximately 73 acres of historic spruce tidal swamp wetlands. Number two, Columbia River North Tongue Point Conservation Project requests $1 million to acquire and conserve approximately 90 acres of coastal wetlands, riparian areas, and conifer forests. And number three, Coquille Valley Wetland Conservation and Restoration Project is located in the lower Coquille River Valley near Bandon. Local partners are requesting $1 million to restore and reconnect approximately 10 miles of remnant channels on the Winter Lake and Beaver Slough Project. Local partners for each project will apply to OWEB for grants to act as match to the federal grant request. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you. Discussion? Yes, Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, I heard this in committee, and I hedged my vote. I need an answer to a question. And when this is acquired, is hunting and fishing going to be allowed on these lands?
Madam Chair and Senator Girard, we've received assurances that all three projects either already or will allow hunting and fishing on the lands.
Thank you so much.
Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Mr. Rocco, is there anything else left for our agenda today?
No, Madam Chair.
Any announcements from LFO?
Nothing except we'll have another meeting Friday.
Thank you. We are adjourned.